Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Stand with me and pray again that God will help us tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Grant it, God. Grant it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're living, much has been said about the hour that we're living in. The instability of the times. The rumblings from across the church world. The tremendous battles that great men and great churches find themselves engaged in today. If we allow ourselves to be moved by circumstances and to be influenced by the things we see and our ears tell us as we hear, we are in a discouraging time. And it seems that the gap ever widens and that more and more we that are of the holiness persuasion are finding ourselves more isolated and more of a spectacle to the world. And it seems like that as in any battle, as the enemy powers intensify, that we are finding defections. Defections not just among those that we considered weak and cowardly Christians, but some of the leaders and some of the men in the pulpit and some of those under authority are defecting and seemingly are reaching out to compromise with the enemy in the hour we're living in. And so with that a thought tonight in my mind and in my heart, and with the things that we had heard in the last few days as we received news and conversed with the brethren, I went to the office this evening and began to meditate and seek God and to look. All of a sudden, I felt like God inspired me. And if the Lord had helped me, I'd like to help you. Folks, always remember that everything has an end. The sun rises in the morning, runs through the heat of the day, but come evening time, the sun sets and there's an ending to the day. How the moon, the stars come out and chart their course across the universe. But brother, after the hours of the night, the day star arises and dawn comes and there's an ending of the night. And oh, the problems and the heartaches and the things that are going on in this world, there's coming an end to them. I want to preach tonight. My subject is simply this. Behold, a white horse. Behold, a white horse. Sometimes we wonder. Sometimes we fret. Sometimes we're burdened. Sometimes disturbed. But neighbor, as sure as the day ends, as sure as the night comes and also comes to an end, there's coming an end to the tyranny of sin. There's coming an end to the battles we are fighting. There's coming an end to the evil of this age. There's coming an end to the persecutions, amen, and the afflictions and the pain and the sorrow that the people of God being called on to go through in this hour. John said he stood on the mount of prophecy, looked down back through the panorama of history, of what he had been seeing. And he said, after all of this, after these things, then I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Amen. Brother, it seems like tonight, pray for me as a preacher, it seems like tonight that sin is on the rampage. Oh, it seems like tonight that wickedness, abominable sinful wickedness, has run rampant through the church world, played havoc with the things of God. Seemingly men are almost powerless to stay the flood that's coming to pass in the hour. Neighbor, he's going to end it. Not like some people think he's going to. Not like these evolutionists are prophesying it. That day after day, the beast of man dies and the tiger is tamed and we get better. No, history tells us different. But God's going to put an end to it after a while. I thought one time in history, one of the persecutors, one of the wickedness and most abominable those that persecuted the Christians, their armies was marching under the apostate. And as they marched, they caught a Christian man. And they began to torment him. They began to persecute upon him and beat him. And through his blood and through his suffering, they whipped him until they got tired of whipping. And then they looked at him and they said to him, where now is that carpenter God that you're serving? That one that was the carpenter. Where is he now? And through his pain and through his blood, he looked at them and he said, he's busy building a coffin for your emperor. Amen. Oh, men may sin. Men may boldly transgress. They may boldly throw it in God's face and thinking, where is he? But I want you to know tonight, if you're still sinning, if you're still playing around, the carpenter God is a building your coffin. He's a building your place. Amen. Behold, there's one a coming. Well, I wish you'd help me preach. Amen. Let us, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. Folks, looks like the things we're facing, looks like the things we're going through, looks like what's coming on us. Amen. The only thing that'll make you stand it, the only thing that'll keep you strong in it, is to know that in the end, behold the white horse with his riders coming. Amen. The only thing that'll help you overcome in the battle is to know there's help on the way. Amen. John has told us of the fall of Babylon. He's told us of the victory over the beast. Amen. And now he tells us the Lord of glory is coming to rule and to reign. During the Civil War, Sherman was in the midst of his great march from sea to sea. Confederate Army mounted a tremendous attack. They had hoped to cut through from the back to attack the fort on his backside and, if possible, to cause Sherman to retreat. And sure enough, when they engaged in the battle and they began to try to take the fort, Sherman with a battalion of soldiers began to ride that way. how the battle was going fierce. It looked like the Confederate Army at any moment was going to overrun them. The general was contemplating surrender. Possibly better to surrender than lose the fort. It didn't look like Sherman could get there in time. But he rode up on a high mountain where they could look way away. And there he took a mirror. And he began to signal into the sun as it come up and across the miles. The signal went, "Hold the fort, for I am coming, Sherman. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Sherman." And they redoubled their effort. One got so stirred up by that message that he wrote the old song that folks used to sing, "Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus is coming again." Hallelujah. My message tonight is this: behold a white horse, and he that sits upon him, who is King of Kings, who is Lord of Lords, amen, who will put down all the opposition. I want to say to us tonight, simply to us tonight, what I want to say to us is this: hold the fort. The question's been asked me by men greater than me, Brother Johnny, in light of what's coming on, what in the world are we going to do? What are we going to do in the hour we're living in? It seems like wickedness is triumphing. I've never seen an hour when sexual promiscuity has took such a foothold in the church. It seems like just about the time we got used to the idea of the world going to hell on the toboggan sled of sex, it hit the church. And they're telling me of adulteries and fornications and abominable sin on every side. Well, what are we going to do? Well, Jesus just simply said, "Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come." What are we going to do? Just keep on doing what you've been doing. Oh, but Brother Johnny, I'm so tired of fighting. Load your guns and fire into the round. I hear them look at the rising sun. What are you seeing over yonder? I believe it's the flickering of the mirror. What's it saying? Hold the fort, for I am coming. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Listen what the Word of God said. I saw an angel come down from heaven. The devil don't want you to know this. The devil makes you think you can't stand what you're going through. The devil tells you how big he is, how bad he is, how strong he is, what he's going to do. But you see, I read the book and I seen a white horse. Amen. About the time I thought about giving up. About the time I thought about hanging up my guns. There's something flashed in my eyes. I said, "What is that?" And I looked on the mountain. Yonder's somebody, read this to me. What's he saying? What's he saying? He's saying, "Hold the fort." What? He said, "Hold the fort." What else is he saying? "Hold the fort, for I am coming." Who said it? Why? Sherman himself said it. Amen. Boys, hit the walls again. Give the last ammunition out. Repower the guns. Let's fire to the round. Just hold it. I don't think, I don't know, but he's a coming. I saw a strong angel. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, the devil, and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more. Amen. Don't look like nothing's going to help. Oh, but you just keep occupying. The white horse riders are coming. Amen. And 10,000 times 10,000 of His saints on white horses are coming with Him. I ain't never rode a white horse. Best I've ever done is an old mule. But He said He's coming. What's He coming for? He's coming to set His foot on the Mount of Olives. And He's going to cleave and fall. And He's going to set His throne. Amen. And a sharp two-edged sword is going to go out of His mouth. Amen. He's going to smite the nations. He's going to break their powers. He's going to rule them with a rod of iron. Amen. Ah, and the devil, he's going to put a chain on him. He's going to chain him up. You know what? I'm scared of a batting dog. Until you chain him up, that angel is going to come down and get a hold to him. He's going to stop his barking, his bawling, his growling. He's going to put a chain on him and take him over and throw him in the bottomless pit and slap a seal on him. Hallelujah. Behold, a white horse. Who's a riding him? Faithful and true. In righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes are like a flame of fire. On his head, there's many crowns. Not just an emperor, brother, but he's got them all. He's got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the crown of crowns. Plus, just as sure as John 3:16 is in the Bible, God Almighty's a building a coffin for every sinner, for every rebel, for everyone against God. And for those that are righteous, He's a-fixing them a mansion. He's a-fixing them a place to go. God, hold on a few days, we're going over. And then John said, I saw a new heaven. And a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Oh, church, in this hour we are living in, ever so often, if you would, turn over and read how it ends. Read the ending of the book. Read how it's going to wind up. Oh, I know you feel like I can't hold out. There ain't no way around it. And you may have to go through some things. But let's be like the Hebrew boys was. Oh, King, if that God we serve wants to, He can deliver us out of your hand. But if he don't deliver us, we'll farm the last guns empty. We'll fall into the fire, and we'll go on. But we ain't going to bow. We ain't going to give up. We ain't going to take it down. Amen. Why? Oh, you may look at me tonight, and you're saying, oh, because of your salvation, I look at my pitiful family, and I don't know hardly what to say or do. If holiness is right, looks like when the Lord comes back, my family is going to be lost. Some of them spotted the false Siloam. They don't know what the real is anymore. They've lived in the pretend world of Hollywood. They've lived in the pretend world of delusion. They don't know the truth anymore. And I thought again this week, the reality of it hit me, how alone I was where my family was concerned. How they misunderstood me. How no doubt they didn't like me, a lot of them. Amen, the way I was. And I thought, Lord, I could just cry some tears. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just cry the tears and build a wall. Amen. You know why I'm going to? Not because I don't love my family. Not because I don't want to make it. I always see them make it. But brother, I realize that one of these days, if I'll keep this, the Bible said, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Hallelujah. Did you know what the Bible said one day? That God would take the big handkerchief of heaven and He'd just wipe the teardrops away from those who have sighed and cried over the abominations of the world. Hallelujah. Folks, if it wasn't for this, I'd feel like throwing in the towel. But I feel more encouraged than I ever have before. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. I told Ann, had just some things that's on me. Sometimes we just, you know, you don't rest good. I had a dream the other night. I believe it might have been Thursday night. I dreamed seeing my daddy and I talking with him. And I thought I hugged him. He hugged me. I woke up anxious to see my daddy. But you know what? Death has separated me and him. But folks, behold a white horse. And God wiping away the tears. And there'll be no more death. There'll be no more death. There will be no pardon if we can hold what we've got. If you in the midst of the battle you're going through, if you can hold what you've got, if you can keep it a few more days, brother, there'll be tears no more. There'll be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying. And there won't be any more pain. You won't have to hurt no more. You know what, folks? I believe the Lord's fixing to come. The way I'm a preaching, the way the Lord's are moving on me, I believe the Lord's about to come. I believe this battle we're going through, one reason it's so hard, one reason it's just so awful to bear, is because it's the last one. And the Lord's are coming again. Oh, if you can just bear it a little bit longer. You know what made men go to that old stake? Let them build a fire around them and burn them alive. Endure the pain, because they knew when the spirit left the body, there'd be no more pain. There'd be no more sorrow. There'll be no sleepless nights of wondering whether the children's going to come in or not. There'll be no more listening for the knock on the door as the messenger comes and brings you the bad news. There won't be no days of crying, no nights of separation. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Amen. I, John, saw it. The marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. Why you folks go on doing like you're doing? Look and you hear, talk to a good pastor, brother, about that's well, cried, fasted, and prayed, got the message for the air. Said, brother, how's your church doing? Two families has left me. Three families has left me. What, they left you over? But Johnny, I'm ashamed to tell you, they fell out with me over holiness, fell out with me over standards. I know that sin, we tried to keep it quiet, but adultery, fornication, some sin. Nothing's left us. Nothing's gone. Only a pastor, or perhaps a pastor's wife, can know the hurt of losing one that you prayed over, that you fed them the best thing you could feed them, watched them stumble and stagger and straighten up, watched them grow, now realize they're dying. And not just dying, but it's the eternal sleep of eternal death and separation from God. What keeps you from just giving up a white horse bursting to the heavens? A name written, a vesture dipped in blood, the judgment of God. And the thrones are set, and He's going to rule and reign. And God said, "Behold, I make all things new." Amen. I'm talking to you tonight as a pastor, as a shepherd, as one who's stood on the mountain. I know you're going through some things. Some of you are going through some hard things. Some of you are doing some persecutions. I've been with my family, and I've wondered, Lord, will it ever be a family again? Because, folks, we can say what we want to. Light has no fellowship with darkness. Sin will separate the closest of peoples. The men that we went to the house of God with, took sweet counsel with, now don't want us around. Folks, we didn't change. We ain't changed a bit. I'm just preaching the same thing that they taught me to preach. Oh, are you discouraged? No. Because, brother, I read the end. And a few more tears, and there'll be no more tears. And a few more sorrows, and there'll be no more sorrows. A few more trips to the graveyard, and there'll be no more graveyards. Amen, on those hills of that world yonder. Amen, folks. Would you be encouraged tonight? Would you be encouraged tonight? Would you strengthen yourself for the journey tonight? Would you look toward the end? Would you lift up your eyes? Let me point you to the flickering of the mirror of the Holy Ghost from yonder's Mount Zion that says, "Hold the fort, for I am coming. Hold the fort, for I am coming." You say, "But Brother Johnny, wickedness is getting by here." No, it's not. Sin slipping by. No, it's not. Sinners are building their own coffins. They're digging their own graves. The wrath of God will be upon the disobedient. But oh, let's me and you look toward the mountain. Behold the white horse. How's it going to end? It's going to end in victory. It's going to end in victory. Just a few more days, and He's going to say to you and me, "Come, ye my people, come and enter into the chamber and shut the door behind you, as it were for a little season, until the indignation be passed." Glorious appearing of His holiness caused their eyes to melt.